All right, brother. So, as opposed to my normal response to reactions from our pod here, our lovely dialects, normal reaction is that I pay close to no attention to any responses that I get. But every once in a while, every 60 days or so, I get a little fur up my butt, and I'll reach out to people who I kind of care about their opinion, you know? And I'll say, "Hey, what'd you guys think about that last episode, or how'd you feel about it?" I just wanted to say a couple of responses that we got.
Oh, here we go. I'm excited for this.
So, boy of mine, Chase, who I met him in county, to be honest, I thought
Nice.
I would come up with something better than the truth, and truth stuck that time.
No, the truth is definitely way better.
So he says, "I enjoy the show as always, brother. Thought you guys have great back and forth." Right? We hear that a lot.
Yeah, that's good. Consistent.
Jacob, he goes, "Honestly, man, it's super solid. I've heard, wait.
I've heard enough. I
Oh,
tuned out.
yeah, right. I've heard, never mind. I'm not going to read the rest of that. No, he just suggested that we move the ad around to different parts. I let him know I think it's, it's where it is for a reason, that there's a purpose that is there outside of,
Bad.
outside of
Oh yeah,
convenience. And then
I
there's
can't do
this,
anything about that. It's stuck where it's at.
exactly,
Sorry.
right? And
Yeah.
then there's this third one from, oh, check this out. Uncle Snoop Dogg. He says, "Y'all motherfuckers sound like my uncle's fine at the barbecue."
I would love to have Uncle Snoop commentate on our episode or just participate in general.
It would be so hard for me to make sure I don't say color commentator because of the era we live in. No, that's a color commentator describes what they're seeing for you. Did you say
Yes.
colored commentator? Fuck, I don't know.
He would be the greatest paintbrush of all time. I didn't listen to I'm gonna hold it. I'm gonna hold it, but I'm gonna get into the theme song and then wanna come back into it because I wanna talk about Snoop. It's funny.
Let's do
it. The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to Pound Town.
Town.
We're going to Pound Town.
Yeah!
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick in your face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity.
Scared the shit out of the dog. Sorry.
As well as our listeners. Subscribe and leave us a five-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance, just like we did in our last episode for Short of Short Sponsors, where we gave a shout out to the Suicide Hotline. That was pretty dope.
Yes, that was super dope.
My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who genuinely prefers anything other than turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yo, yo, yo,
Motion.
yo, 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 yo. I'll do it for that long because I could do it for forever.
I know you could.
Yeah.
What's this I hear about you having a pig head for
Oh, Peter
Thanksgiving?
Porker. You're
So
talking about Peter Porker.
this is a real thing. So you had a pig head?
Yeah. So the thing is that we always make wifey always asks for a ham. And then usually standards like a turkey. And
Right.
then we always do one exotic, like
Oh.
Tibetan, whatever, I don't know. But
Sure.
we did a duck. We did quails.
Tibetan, so you're like yak.
Yeah, some, whatever. Next year I'm thinking hamster nuts, but this year we didn't find anything. It was like the night before Thanksgiving and all through the house, nothing was stirring, not even a mouse. But I don't know if that's how that goes, by the way. But so we were at the market and we walked by and there's two pigs' heads right there.
Wow.
And I do like my father-in-law when he sees a good deal, I walk by and act like I'm not interested. And I go tick, 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 and I backpedal back to the deal. And I go, "Hey, mister, how much is that pig's head?" And it was $12.
Oh,
And
well,
I had seen a Facebook ad for a place in Glendale, I think, that they age pigs' heads for 60 days. Maybe it's less days. I know it costs $60, so maybe I'm fucking up the number. But they age a pig's head, and you have to have four people, and it's $60, and they'll serve you a whole pig's head. So I knew I'd been wanting this thing. And I had no idea how to...
I've aged my head for about 35 years. I wonder how much I can get.
You know what, dude? I feel like, I don't know if it's the salt or what, but it's accelerated. Like, it's the same 35 years as you, but I don't know if I was further from the equator, so time went faster. I'm not sure. But anyways, yeah, we named him Peter Porker, and we cooked the fuck out of that. And let me suggest this to anyone who's thinking about making a pig's head. Your what's that shit that you feel in your heart? Your gut?
Your cholesterol?
No, not that. Like your intuition.
Ah.
Because it's so ugly, it's going to say to like flavor it up.
Right.
It tastes like regular pork. So mine tasted like overflavored roast because I was so nervous that it would taste like a pig's head. Turns out pig's head's delicious. Just eat it like that. Like, don't go heavy on the roast. But a friend and I are going to try it again. Shout out Joe Dorado. We're going to try again, but we're going to smoke it.
For Christmas?
No, I hope sooner. I don't want to wait another year to do this shit. But I don't know if they sell pig heads other times a year.
Okay. Well, if you're going to smoke it, do you need like extra large rolling papers or?
Oh, no, we're going to grinders. You just put in a grinder, chop it up real quick. Or I've seen people smoke things with light bulbs too. Yeah. But, and then my father-in-law, shout out to Armando. He ate the eye. That was pretty cool.
Ballsy.
And then I made a badass like salmon pilaf thing. I don't know. I love to fucking cook, dude. And so it's like, it's our thing where like my father-in-law cooks and I cook, and then we just put it all on the table and the girls go wild.
Nice.
So
that's cool. That's a pretty cool Thanksgiving. My Thanksgiving was up in the mountains. So that was pretty dope. We were up.
How was that?
We were in Idlewild, and it was cold and it was quiet and it was perfect.
That's awesome, dude. And how's, is that a consideration for a possible new tradition for the new family?
I don't know if it's a new tradition. It was kind of just more of like trying to get away from COVID
for the moment.
Thanksgiving, yeah. You know, people getting together and stuff like that. But it was beautiful. I mean, we love the mountains, crisp air. We saw a little bit of snow, but not even snow, more like just pockets of ice that kind of, it didn't go away.
All right, quick question, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they meant to put the word anus in gayness?
In gayness?
Yeah. You know, gayness.
Oh, like, wait, no. Oh, like gayness, G-A-Y-N-E-S-S?
Yeah, you think they meant to put the word anus in gayness? Oh. Or that was just a great coinky-dinky?
I think that's a serendipitous happy accident.
Right?
What's that guy's name? Bob Ross? The painter guy? He's like, those are happy little trees now. I think that's a happy little tree of a word. That's your situation.
Is it a true story that he was a killer?
What?
I don't know. I thought, him and then, you know what? Now that I think about it, it might have just been a theme. Because didn't they say Mr. Rogers was a killer too?
Oh, what? How dare you go into Mr. Rogers?
No, I'm not. I'm asking. I think Bob Ross was a Marine.
No, Mr. Rogers was. Mr. Rogers was in the military.
But a Marine?
I don't know about a Marine, but I know he was military for sure. And
by the way, all these motherfuckers in the military, let me say this now. You're not all badasses. Some of you took the trash out and like vacuumed the floor, okay?
Like in Jarhead?
Yeah.
Can you imagine being taken out by Mr. Rogers though?
Well, was he Mr. Rogers already?
I don't know, but like
that would be really fucked up. Imagine looking through the scope and being like, is that Mr. Bao?
Yeah, like if Mr. Rogers was like in the Korean War or something, you know, Mr. Rogers, like he's seen some shit. Can you imagine being killed by Mr. Rogers?
Well, look, he was weary enough to like take his outside clothes off immediately and then put his inside clothes on like before he even finished the jam.
Oh, he was street smart that way.
So you ever had the conversation about like if you could go back and kill Hitler, would you? And then like, well, now we got to figure out like how far back, because I wouldn't kill Hitler as a kid. Because
you wouldn't kill baby Hitler.
No, right? At what point would you kill Hitler? Like,
Probably right before he rises to power. I mean, right when he's like, you know, a drunken nobody.
Yeah.
and nobody's going to remember him. No one's going to forget about him, but he's just a drunken asshole right there.
That's exactly the part, because it's post-World War One.
Yeah.
So Germany's already supposed to be in check. And then you got this guy trying to like rally up the socialists literally at bars, like you said.
Yeah.
And, like he start, like, talk about Drake starting from the ground. Now we hear, right. That's. I mean, that was the time. Like if he was just being some loud asshole at Santa Fe Springs swap meet.
Yeah. Right there. Double tap.
Exactly. All right, cool. Thanks, man. Everybody else has such a weird time answering that, but I don't think they know that the route that, you know, him and Drake took.
Yeah, but I think if he was going to do it as a juvenile, I think he has a potentially lighted path if he was in L.A. County at this time. The L.A. County has wanted to move away from locking up juveniles with a more care-first approach. Have you heard about this? What is
that? No, I haven't. I mean, let's go. Hear the story. Let's hear the story.
Okay, so the LA County Supervisor Board unanimously passed a motion that calls for eventually ending the probation department's supervision of juveniles, passing control to a new department of youth development. So instead of holding young offenders in the county's 2 juvenile halls and 6 probation camps, the board agreed to explore how it could place them in a more home-like setting of communities, still with public safety in mind.
Okay.
There, I think Hitler might have a chance.
So, wait.
Redemption.
Are we going from, like, jail to slavery? What do they mean? Like, what is their plan, dude? I don't get it. Like, what are they going to shape these youth to do?
Like, shape the youth to do?
Yeah, you said they're going to put them in, like, communities, right? Or, like...
Yes, I think you put them in, like, I've never been a juvie, so I presume it's, like, you know, a prison setting, right?
I guess, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, so I presume...
I think they have, like an N64, too, though.
That's dope. I'm pretty sure there's a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy that can get an N64 into San Quentin, but...
You know what, dude? I've never been to juvie, but I got grounded one time for, like, 4 months. Let me tell you, bro.
That was not a care-first approach. Yeah, I think it's more like a prison setting. So, like the probation department, they're just a little bit more colder, I suppose, in their approach. Mm-hmm. So because they're... you know, juveniles, they're minors in a sense, contingent on what their offense may have been, having them introduced into the system, the prison system as juveniles, doesn't send the right message across. And I think this is a good step of understanding we're setting the tone and we're setting the pace of the conversation with these young offenders by, you know, treat them like shit, but if we provide them with a more warmth, welcoming, community-like setting where they can be genuinely rehabilitated at a young age where they're still impressionable, would be more effective.
I'm all for it, dude. I'm like, I hate the way our punishment system is set up, you know? And, you know, for one, it's having been through it, and then two, it's for having the lack thereof of responsibility to take responsibility for my actions, but... No, especially when it comes to youth, the one down the street, there's one down the street from my house. They shut it down and it was a, you know, what I call youth internment camp. And, you know, one of the worst things that happens when you go through corrections is you get linked up with people who are doing as bad or worse than you.
Right.
And I can't imagine that taking place at 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. Like that's, you know, that's fucking terrible, dude. We really need to make a solid line between violent and nonviolent and then start to work from there.
Yeah. I think the whole system should be reevaluated. And I think the fact that they are acknowledging the fact that they could have a more care first approach, be implemented. I think it's a great first step. And I'm looking forward to where it goes.
In this past year, dude. And, you know, God forbid that the presidency had anything to do with it, but like, can you agree? And again, nothing to do with like presidential politics. I'm getting really excited about the way our government is talking about some of these changes. One, you know, going more to like renewable energies. And then two, they are doing stuff with our prison system. Like that is evolving. And I know that like the country's a battleship and you can't just turn it around. You know, I know it takes a long time, but yeah. I am like thoroughly enjoying seeing the ideas of what I consider to be prosperity kind of flowing to the top.
I do as well. I think the progressive energy of a lot of the grassroots campaigns are catching hold. I think a lot of people are starting to feel that energy of why are we doing the same old thing over and over and over and over? And I think for whatever reason, the younger millennial generation, us included in that, as well as Generation Z and soon to be Generation Alpha, I think they're really onto something that will make a genuine impact and change that we've been talking about for decades.
I mean, this is how gross that setup was. They had that youth internment camp, what I call it, and it shared a fence with the elementary school. That elementary school was called Liberty. We don't live in a city called Liberty. There's not a park called Liberty. Then the school is specifically named in order to taunt the other side of the fence.
Yeah, that's not a serendipity happy tree right there.
No, it's not. That's a very angry willow, you know, wilting.
Angry willow wilting tree.
Yes. Nice. You made a mention at the start of the show, in the very beginning, in the preamble, that's what I call it.
I forgot it.
About Newsom being invited to a meal.
Oh, yeah.
Did I already talk about how I feel that Newsom is Trump?
No, but go on.
Okay, let me start with this. It all starts a few months ago. Gavin Newsom did a photo shoot to be on a magazine cover. On this photo shoot was him and his admittedly a gorgeous wife, you know, attractive lady, on like this giant bearskin rug in front of this huge fireplace, and he's wearing like a 007 suit, right?
Nice.
And I'm looking at this picture, and I'm like, this is fucking hilarious, dude. And then seeing the way he's acted over the past, you know, couple weeks about being more of a, like, do as I say, not as I do kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then thinking back to his, like, millionaire roots, he is the Democrats' Trump. Like, his ultimate goal is to be Trump. Obviously, he wants to be president.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, nobody wants to tap out a governor except for Arnold. He knew that's where he could max qualify. But he's fucking Trump. He is the exact same person on the other team. The way he talks, the way he behaves, the way he, his disassociation for what I think are like actual humans and their feelings and what they have to go through. I think he's become like, not become, I think he was. And I'll go one step further. I think here in the next 5 years, you ever see the picture of Michelle Obama and George Bush side by side, like head to head, real close? Like,
yeah, I think that was at a funeral.
Okay, cool.
I think that was at a funeral, but yeah, I'd see that picture.
I mean, it would take a really fucking good funeral for me to take. Well, anyways, they're not enemies. They are friends. They like summer vacation together. The Obamas and the Bushes. Because once you put all that, like, also, once you're a president, like, you can't relate to a lot of people, right? And who the fuck wants to hang out with the Clintons? You know? Anyways, I feel like what I'm getting at is I think we're going to have that picture of Newsom and Trump within the next 5 years. Just head to head. Maybe they'll do, like, the death row picture. It'll be, like, Trump, Newsom, and then maybe even Major. Major will leave Biden's side, and then Bill Clinton.
Wow, that's a lot.
Remember the source cover?
Wholeheartedly disagree, but
you think Newsom is like, okay, I can agree that you disagree that he's not Trump, but do you think he's like a good dude? I think he's like one of those socialites. Like,
I agree that I love Newsom as a governor.
Do you?
I do, and I stick up for a lot of the choices that he makes. However, I will say that there is a level of absolute disconnect to the sensitivity of optics. That was definitely that came to light with his winery not closing, even though it didn't have to, and as well as him attending that dinner party, which he shouldn't have.
Yes.
There's a level of disconnect that he doesn't understand that in this day and age, you really have to practice what you preach, especially during the age of COVID, that he just inherently, I don't think he gets. And I agree with you. Because of his political aspirations, I think he's blinded by those aspirations to an extent.
Well, but high-level politicians should be able to figure out things more complex than those optics, right?
Not necessarily. I think optics are so beneath them because they feel it's beneath them that it's not, they genuinely believe that it's not really a thing. So they don't have to really concern about it. They have so much faith in the public perception of them that they don't really feel that they need to practice what they preach, which is why I think he went to that dinner party. While I agree with his decisions thus far with COVID, as well as the general running of the state, I think that level of disconnect was what he fucked up on.
You mean his decisions in telling us what to do, not his decisions in deciding what he should do, right?
Agreed. And, yeah. And I think that's what the disconnect is that he understands that, yes, with the data that he's being provided, yes, this is what should be done for the general well-being of the population of the state of California. But what he fails to connect in that is, oh, shit, I am also a citizen of California.
Yeah.
I should follow my own fucking rules and shit. So, yeah, he clearly fucked up, and I hold him account to that as well.
And absolutely. That's something that makes me feel he's even more of Trump, like a Trump.
Not necessarily Trump. I would say that's just political. We had a story.
But it's political around, because we accept it to be political. We should hold our politicians to a higher regard. I mean, we elect reflections of ourselves. So that's why he's where he is and why Trump is where he is, you know, and now we all have Alzheimer's and that's why Biden is where he is. But no, I'm kidding. I'm hoping that Kamala is more of a reflection of, you know, the general populace, obviously, than Biden.
Hoping.
Yep.
You know? There's also a story going around right now that an LA County supervisor who voted for the shutdown of indoor dining the same day that she voted on doing that because she said it was extremely dangerous. That night she went indoor dining at her favorite restaurant. And again, it's that situation of like,
I gotta get my last cheesecake before y'all shut down.
Yeah, exactly. And you couldn't get it to take out. Like, come on, you dumbass.
I don't know. I just think, litter box. Hashtag town, hashtag litter box. Litter box town, that's the name of the city. I don't know, man. Like, it's just.
I can understand why people don't like Newsom. I get it. But I wish that people would also understand as well the flip side of the coin. But again, even for as fanboy as I am for Obama, I am fanboy for Newsom, but that doesn't mean that I let them off the hook for their atrocities and missteps and
absolutely
bad decisions. I still hold them account to that.
Yeah. And that should be fair across the board. I don't know. I think Obama was like far and above, I equate Newsom to Trump as far as like, they're just outside, like, total disconnect with reality, not just like with the people that, you know, that they serve or their constituents.
Yeah.
Like a legitimate disconnect with reality. Like, I'm telling you, it started with that picture. When I saw that picture, I was like, who the fuck?
Yeah. I think the disconnect from reality, I think, is an actual like mental disorder for Trump. But I think with Newsom, he's just the new JFK playing really good politics. And knows how to play that game. Like, he knows how to play fucking politics unbelievably well. And that's why he hasn't run for president yet. He knows when it'll be his time to strike. And when it does, I wouldn't be surprised if he won first time out.
Gavin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's handsome.
I mean, he, like I said, I feel like the new JFK. Not to say that he has the greatness of JFK.
Yeah.
But he has the looks, he has the know-how, he has the intelligence, he has the charisma, he has the understanding of how politics work.
I don't know, man. I read a lot about JFK and watched a lot about how he was raised. I couldn't think that they were on the same trajectory whatsoever. Like, those kids were damn near Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah.
So.
Time will tell on Newsom, especially when it comes time for re-election. We'll see what happens then, because then he'll definitely be taken to task for everything he's decided on.
Well, I mean, actually, or let's be fair. If we're talking elections, it could just depend on who runs against him.
That's also very true.
You know what I mean? Because obviously we're not going to elect a Republican. So what Democrat what Democrat is going to rise to the occasion, is going to challenge the party.
That's when the progressives come into play. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone come out, but I mean, not right now. I mean, I can't think of anyone who's on the radar to take on Newsom.
Dude, what if AOC sets up residency somewhere near Jordan Downs? I'm just being silly, but you know.
So you want to get into some you know what's, or do you want to do a to be or not to be? Let's get deep. We got time for one of these segments.
You gotta let's get deep.
I do have a let's get deep.
If you got one, I'd love to do that.
Okay, let's do let's get deep.
Yeah.
So here's the question: who decides what morality is?
Oh, dude, this just instantly struck a chord with something I've been thinking so much about.
Oh man, hit me.
Have you heard about not vasectomy, vaccine morality?
Vaccine morality?
So the CDC is having a meeting to decide who should get the first doses of the vaccine.
Yes, they just announced their recommendations.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Okay, so CDC... Wait. Okay,
before you announce.
Yes.
Oh, well, you already know. Can I tell you who I would think should get it first?
Yes.
The other half of the people that did the test. The other half, like the people who got the placebos. Because they literally risked their health. They believed that they were issued a vaccine and went out to the world.
Yeah.
They, like, talk about American hero.
That's true. Placebo takers should automatically get. I did not even think of that, but you are 100% correct.
That's my number one seed.
100%. I'm right behind you with that.
So then, okay, without, you know, the results of their recommendations, who did you feel like should have gone, you know, not necessarily first, but like top couple, like I think children would be good because they don't know they're spreading it, you know? And then I also kind of thought like senior citizens, because that's why we're all locked down. We don't want senior citizens to die. So if we give it to them, then we can not lock down. But what did you think? And then what were the results?
Well, my number one is the healthcare workers.
Yes.
They're the only ones who fucking know how to operate the machines in a hospital. I sure as hell don't. So I want to make sure that they're protected. So in the event that shit goes down, the ones who can actually operate shit are still there.
But aren't they also the ones that are most uber protected?
Well, yeah, with the protective equipment and whatnot. But this would just be that additional layer of protection that they should be having.
Okay. And then did you have a close second?
Not really. I just want to make sure that they as soon as they got it, everyone else can get it.
Okay. So, and then what are CDC recommendations?
CDC was healthcare workers first. So the first doses will go out to healthcare workers, and secondary doses, or second wave, if you will be going to the elderly. And then third will be going to high risk individuals.
Okay.
And after the high-risk individuals, it'll be essential workers like cops.
I like that list.
Food supply chain and all that shit.
I like that list. Here's the only plot twist. Here's the thing that scares me.
Yeah.
Just like you said, we don't know how to run the machines. If something goes wrong with that, our healthcare workers are the first to go down.
Right, which is why, you know, there's enough testing before these things are approved.
But I mean...
Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, I saw a funny meme where they said, like, they should... The first round of vaccines should be given to the politicians.
No, fuck them. They should get last.
Well, here's the thing. So if the first round go to the politicians, and if the vaccine works, then we know the vaccine works. If the vaccine doesn't work, then the politicians suffer first.
Yeah, but if the vaccine works, they're just going to make terrible decisions for us. Furthermore, over the next 2 years, we're all waiting for the vaccine.
I thought it was a funny meme.
It is funny. So, all right. So, sorry. That was vaccine morality. But back to the let's get deep. I apologize for taking us off track again. But who decides morality?
Who decides what morality is?
This is something I've like, believe it or not, often contemplated. Because, yeah, I come from a religious faith, dude. And I'm also real enough to believe that enough people have received religion in one way or another by this time on Earth, that I would be remiss to say we haven't all been influenced by the Bible.
Or some whether form or not, of religion, sure.
Yeah, or that. Because I know that they got monks up in the mountains of Tibet that are practicing religion in a positive way.
Yes.
So, like, you'd have to be... You would not be listening to this podcast. You'd be, like, some tribal thing out in the Amazon.
They should be listening to this podcast, though.
They should be. They should be. And if they are, hey, dude, what's up with the ayahuasca? Anyways, so, like, we kind of unanimously agree that there are parts of the Christian Bible that are, like, the golden rule.
Right.
You know? And then there's also parts of the exact same Bible, like homosexuality, that are completely fucking wrong.
Right.
So who creates morality? I think it's the king at the time, dude. Like, unfortunately, conquerors tell the story. And, you know, the reason we all have access to this Bible is because of the Crusades, you know, and the fallout that came with that.
Right.
So who does create morality? And at what point do we say, you know, you're wrong? And then what kind of empire or what kind of campaign do we have for them to realize that? Like, look at this Black Lives Matter campaign, dude. If this was 1,000 years ago, it'd be swords and shields, right?
Probably, yeah.
So, you know, that's part of what's so amazing about it.
I think you're exactly right. And I will go a step further and say that the question, how you answer the question is how you interpret the question. If you interpret the question as who decides morality, it's saying who has the power to make those types of determinations, a la the king, versus who decides what morality is. Well, you decide what morality is. Now, that's not to necessarily say that everyone around you is going to agree with your sense of morality, but it is up to you to determine what your morality is and then to argue your case. Now, your morality says, killing people, not that bad. Now, that's your sense of morality, and it's up to you to argue your case. Now, for me, my sense of morality is definitely not killing people. You can live your life however you wish as long as you don't hurt anyone or anything. But it comes down to how you want to interpret the question. If you want to allow the king to determine your sense of morality, okay, that's on you. Again, it's you deciding if you want to agree with that sense of morality or if you want to reassess what's been provided to you. It's like, no, I don't agree with that. I want to tweak it here, adjust that. But ultimately, I think who decides what morality is you yourself and then the community of which you live in, if they agree with you enough to allow it.
I agree with that to, you know, a pretty far extent. It's just, I know that there were people that lived in further, like, you know, in the past that were equally as good people as you or I. Not to say you and I are,
I don't know, like, we're pretty fucked up.
I was just going to say, not to say that you and I are, like, some level of good.
Right.
but that had, because of what was given to him at the time, you know, like I said, what it is that influences your morality. And I've had friends say, like, no, I know rape is bad because I know rape is bad. I'm right. Like, no, you kind of might know rape is bad because you were taught that through Christian values throughout growing up.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there was like Apocalypto. Sometimes I kind of look at the bad guys like, yeah, I could have been one of them. Actually, there's not a good guy in that movie that represents me, but right. You know, same thing with Glory. And what's the last one with all the Marvel characters? End of Times. You know Endgame. What I mean? Anyways, Endgame. Thanks. But yeah, it's so weird to think about why we believe what we believe. Like me, adamantly being not a Christian, I'm 1,000% real that I'm influenced by Christian values day in and day out.
Yeah. Again, I think that a la carte, there's some values that are shared across the board, you know, such things as like do not murder.
And to your point, like you said, that's up to you as a person to create your moral compass.
For sure.
And hopefully when you're wrong or if you're out of pocket, that, you know, the society around you checks you.
Yep.
But so. I think hey, we nailed it, bro.
You got some you know what's?
I have one.
We'll do one.
I actually might have more than one, but you know what?
What?
If you don't accept that I don't accept everything, neither one of us has to accept anything.
I'll run that back one more time.
If you don't accept that I don't accept everything, then neither one of us has to accept anything. If you're having trouble accepting that I don't accept it all, you're not accepting me. Therefore, contract is null and void, bro.
Null and void.
Scratch like, that. Reverse it.
Like how you wrapped that up in a nice pretty bow. Beautiful. Hey, man, you know what?
What's that, my man?
Chicken butt is delicious.
It is. The little diamond?
Yep.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
tell me about it, bro. Tell me about your experience.
No, I just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, you're talking about a pig's head. I was like, you know what? Chicken butt. You know, it's not just the answer to you know what or what, but chicken butt. Actually, think about it. It is delicious.
It is delicious, dude. My whole family works at El Pollo Loco. They bring them home by the buckets. I got one more that's false as fuck. You want to hear it?
Oh, absolutely.
You know what?
What?
Tents work because they're masks, like face masks, for areas. So, like, if you're looking down from space, you just see these little face masks everywhere. And that's why they work.
They're face masks for the floor. Floor masks.
That's what I'm talking about. And everybody under them.
That's a good one. I like that. I got one last one.
Do it, brother.
Hey, man, you know what?
What's that?
You're not quitting. You just know when you've had enough. And that's okay.
That's absolutely true.
There's a total difference between quitting and just tapping out and being like, you know what? I'm good. This is where I jump off the train. I'm out here.
I agree. 6,000%.
I get off here. And if you ever reach that point where you're like, you know what? I'm done. I've had enough. This is where I tap out. This is where I get off the train. That's not quitting. Quitting is when you can still endure more, when you can still continue further. That's not quitting.
Yeah, you know, oh, can I tack on to that? Maybe it's when the difference is when I had it a second ago. When it's easier to quit and then when it's harder to quit. So like you're not quitting when you're tapping out, it's harder to not ride this train further to the fucking terrible place it's going.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump off a train full of dynamite. Like it's easier to sit in this train. But I'm going to risk getting off here and now.
Yeah.
And that hurts way more than not quitting. I see what you mean.
Yep.
Well, as eloquent as ever, we have been tonight.
We have words. We got good words.
Earlier, dude, I quoted Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. It's my favorite of all time stories. I looked Nat in the eye and I quoted it to her. And I go, you know where that's from? She's like, no, where? And I was like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And she's like, really?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know why. Do you ever hear Will Smith say thou?
As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you, subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop $1 in our Venmo at Social Nuisance and become a short sponsor. We'll say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine. That's the main man motion. We'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Love y'all.
I thought you were going to do the Justin Bieber thing.
Which one? You remember when you told me Justin Bieber was a good guy?
Yeah, I think so. You keep failing. I think the past couple episodes you couldn't get it right.
Yeah. Fuck, dude. Story of my life.